Hour number two, Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Happy Saturday, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your Saturday. And we know a conversation that these Tennessee Titans fans love to talk about, Junie, and it is the discussion of Will Levis, rookie quarterback coming out of the University of Kentucky that the Tennessee Titans drafted in the second round. I want to preface this conversation, and I kind of want to set the stage, and we want your participation in this. Because I think it's really important that we hear from the fans who are going to be, you know, rooting and cheering for the Tennessee Titans, whether they've been a fan forever, a new fan. I want to get your perspective on this because ever since, I mean, really his time at Kentucky and the offseason into the NFL season of him going to combines, doing interviews, gearing up to go to the combine and everything like that. There has been a picture that has been painted about Will Levis. And I think of a false, inaccurate picture of Will Levis. And I have been one of the proponents of a Will Levis defender on our station because I think so much has gotten made of some of the things that have been on social media, some of the interviews people have taken and essentially run with it. Oh, you do these silly videos on TikTok, which then somehow equals not a good leader, not serious about the game, or, you know, a certain interview or rumors about not interviewing well, then this narrative comes out about entitlement. And our very own Joe Rexroad wrote a phenomenal article on The Athletic, worth every penny. I am like pumping up this article so hard because it was such a phenomenal article. I told you, Junie, I sent it to you. I said, subscribe now and read now. And I know you know it was worth it. But Joe essentially goes in and talks to so many different people, a part of Will Levis's life, between Liam Cohen, his offensive coordinator at Kentucky, and then he worked with the Rams. He talked to both of his parents. He talked to Matt Hasselbeck. He talked to one of Will Levis's professors at Kentucky. He talked to just so many different people.
Wandale Robinson from the Giants.
Wandale Robinson from the Giants, one of his wide receivers at Kentucky. And I understand these are all people a part of his lives, but it seems that everybody who you talk to or interview and ask about Will Levis, nobody has anything negative to say about him. The people who have negative things to say about him are the ones who don't know him and are the ones who look at him on social media or look at him on a football field and they see this, yeah, he's cocky out there. And don't you want a quarterback to be cocky? It's just interesting. You know, people love a little cockiness, swagger from an Aaron Rodgers. And I understand those are proven. And I'm not saying that Will Levis is going to be that. I'm just saying, you know, when you talk about just that dog mentality, that edge you bring, that competitiveness in you, you want that in a player. You want that, you know, aggressiveness, vocalness, especially at the quarterback position. And that was one of, you know, the biggest knocks on Marcus Mariota when he came here. He was such a nice guy and everybody, you know, loved Marcus, but he didn't have that dog, that assertiveness on the field. And you need to have it as a quarterback. And one of my favorite parts, because I don't want to tell everything about the article because you really have to go and read it. But one of my favorite parts about this article, Junie, was one of the biggest reasons that Will Levis got into football and really wanted to play in the NFL and be a quarterback at that was because of his grandpa. And his grandpa, Dave Kelly, was a coach at Yale for a very, very long time. So Will growing up was always around, you know, college athletes. And then Dave Kelly, once he wasn't coaching anymore, you know, he still mentored some of these players. And just this is just how crazy how our world is. Dave Kelly, Will Levis's grandpa, when he would go and recruit players from Chicago, are you ready for this, listeners? Would stay with Bob Skowronski Jr., late son of legendary Packers lineman who won 5 NFL championships under Vince Lombardi, who is also related to Peter Skowronski. I mean, what? Like, and now they're both on the same team together? I mean, I just think like that is one of the most wild connections ever, Junie.
No, I completely agree. And when I read that, I mean, I had to do like a double take. I'm like, is that is that really like a connection that these two guys have? And when you kind of sit and think about it, you know, his grandfather was an Ivy League coach with Yale, and you know, Peter Skoronski was playing at Northwestern. So, you know, they're probably all in the mix of those high academic, you know, background schools in playing football and such. So that is super, like, cool that, you know, that their grandfathers had that history. And now going into the NFL, the fact that they're the same age and the same draft, and now they're playing for the same team. And you got Peter Skoronski probably going to be at the helm of the protection for Will Levis for the next couple years, you know, if in fact Will Levis is the future at quarterback. So very interesting stuff in connection there. But, you know, one of the things that really, really touched me, and I guess more or less, you know, just recently becoming a dad, and I've mentioned this on the show, it makes me a really big softy, was the fact that Will Levis had a connection with one of his professor's son, who I don't know the exact disorder that his son has, but it gives him extreme anxiety when it comes to meeting new people and being around strangers. And apparently, you know, Will, who's, you know, the guy on campus, he's the big quarterback playing for the University of Kentucky, one of the most successful quarterbacks that we've seen at the University of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And this, and Will literally would not quit until he built a relationship with this kid. And now this professor that Will had a relationship with and literally just hopped on his podcast one time is now, you know, he has one of the biggest fans in this kid and has a real relationship with him and took the time and effort to go through and do that. And that, for me, if I had a kid that had a disorder like that and a major athlete that didn't need to take the time to do that, you know, was always around my son to try and, like, help him and uplift him and bring some things out of him, like, that really, like, touched me sincerely. And, you know, I've always been a proponent of Will Levis on the field strictly. And that's the one thing that I've been preaching and fighting for with our listeners, with this fan base that doesn't really necessarily want Will Levis to be a part of the Tennessee Titans. And to see that part of him and the fact that he is such a genuine person to do that off the field as well just makes me want to root for this guy even more. So great article by Joe Rexroad. It was a lot of excellent work. There's a lot more aspects to this that really touch on who Will Levis is as a person. But really great stuff coming from Joe Rexroad. And I think that this could really kind of turn people's opinions on about who the person of Will Levis truly is.
Well, and I think I go back to, Junie, just this false narrative that surrounded him, right? I mean, you know, the goofy videos. And I mean, we're going to be seeing more social media presence from these college athletes just with NIL expanding and them doing videos, doing silly things like that for NIL deals and getting paid and all of those different things. But I go back to just the false narrative that was surrounding him of, you know, entitlement. And you talked about that specific situation with one of his professor's sons at the University of Kentucky. None of that was posted on social media, right? I mean, people don't post everything they do in their entire lives out there. And maybe if what you don't like what they post, that doesn't mean it paints an entire picture of somebody. And I think another thing too, like, just in relation to the comment on people of the entitlement, I mean, the guy went to Penn State and essentially, you know, they gave the job to Sean Clifford. So he took classes and took like 21-hour semesters, which is insane. I mean, I remember struggling taking 16 credit hours. I mean, took 18 to 21 credit hours in finance, graduated with almost a 4.0 just so that he could graduate early and then go to Kentucky to get his master's and also play, gets a master's in finance. So, you know, when you talk about a guy who works hard and isn't really, you know, as far as his football career, like, not given anything. He came to Kentucky and he was on the third team. And within a week of being there, you know, when the players on the team are advocating that he be your starting quarterback and also be your team captain in a week of being in the building, I mean, that says something. And that's what you want out of a quarterback. It doesn't matter what people on the outside think at the end of the day. It matters how your teammates view you. It matters how your teammates listen to you, how they look up to you. And coming in as a rookie, a 23-year-old, if eventually he does take over the starting job, whether it be, you know, it's Ryan Tannehill's team starting off this year, but whether, depending on how the season goes, whether it turns to his or in 2024, I mean, you're walking into a locker room of full men, and like, you need to get their attention, you need to earn their respect. And that's never been a problem. There's never been a locker room issue with him or a character issue with him. So that's why, to me, you know, when hearing all of this, I just think it's like, where is this coming from? It's just kind of this narrative that has been created. And, you know, one of the other things that was kind of described Will Levis was his intensity. And like I said, Joe Rexroad did this article on him, talked to so many people who are related to him and know about his life, and talked about his intensity and who he compares him to. Here's Joe Rexroad.
I think that Will Levis, if he's good, and that's a big if, and I have no idea, I think actually he could be, persona-wise, I do not take this wrong, because I've done this before with Belichick, and I didn't say what people say I said. But I'm saying the way he approaches things and the way, like, I think he could endear himself to fans here. I mean, his hero is Tom Brady.
Nope.
And I'm not saying he's the same level player. I have no idea. He may never be a starting quality quarterback. But I think the demeanor actually is kind of similar. And I think that, like, Vrabel's going to love him, again, if he's good, because I think he's going to be a very outspoken. He's going to be the most, like, outspoken, out there leader, you know, that they've had at the quarterback position a long time.
So that was Joe Rexroad on Will Levis and discussing, you know, his intensity and just like that will to wanting to win. And Joe isn't the only one who said something like that. Jim Wyatt just came out with an article. He talked to Matt Hasselbeck, former Tennessee Titans quarterback, played in the league for almost 20 years, now ESPN analyst, who has created a mentorship relationship with Will Levis. And he said he sent Will Levis a text at the end of the draft. He said at the end of the first day, he sent a message to Will Levis and said, "The draft is just the draft. What is more important is you go get an organization with great coaches and great players who can help teach you to be a pro." And then he goes on to say how he feels that this organization is going to be such a great fit for him. And obviously Hasselbeck's very familiar with here, but one story he told in this article, Junie, which I love, is that Hasselbeck was a mentor to a lot of the quarterbacks during the combine. And, you know, it's in a stressful environment. They're essentially in a job interview for their lives, their dream. Ever since they were a little kid, they're in a job interview. And at 6:30 AM, you know, some of the players had to do the bench press. There was nobody in Lucas Oil Stadium. It was completely empty. And all of a sudden, you know, it's 6:30 AM. These guys have to bench press for, you know, for their combine score, right? There's nobody in there. There's no noise. Their eyes are probably barely open. And Will, like, gathers the guys and starts banging on tables at like 6:30 AM to like hype these guys up because nobody has energy. And, you know, I heard that story and you think about that, and like, it's little things like that that are like, oh, you want that guy in your locker room.
Yeah. A few things there. Cause you went through a bunch of the stuff. So I want to touch on this. The fact that you don't hear a lot of what he does off the field, I think that shows a lot of integrity. Integrity is doing the right thing when no one's watching. And nowadays, when you see all these videos of, you know, people giving out food to homeless and videotaping it, I always feel like those things are really disingenuous. And in the world of social media, when you got a guy that's willing to do stuff like that and not really talk about it or put it in the limelight, that shows that it's very genuine. When it comes to his academics, you always want your quarterback to be really intelligent and really good in school. And when you talk about his grandparents, his parents are all Ivy League graduates. He comes from a long line of really intelligent people. And I think that that's going to play in a part of it. But like you had just touched on, his intensity and the way that he rallies a group of men is a lot of what it takes to be a quarterback in this league. When I look at a guy like Ryan Tannehill, I don't really see him as a rah-rah guy that's going to motivate and really push people. And I think that that's something that's going to really attract Will Levis to this locker room and we're going to get into it next. But when we get into this schedule, if it's a slow start for the Titans, I do see a very good chance of Will Levis being put into this situation, because the talent's there, the intelligence is there, and he could really, really boost the morale of this team and give this team something to fight for if the season does start off in a bad situation.
Junie, great points there. Really quick before we head to break, a texter texts in and says they didn't have their name, so tell us your name so we can give you credit. It says, something that was missed in the draft was when CJ Stroud got drafted second overall, Will Levis made sure to give him a high five and a handshake as he went by. So there you go. You know, a team or a position he thought maybe he could go in, supporting people around you. Those are the type of people you want in your building. Coming up next, Junie and I are going to go through the schedule predictions from 10:15-ish. I know we're a little late right now. We're going to go through all the way till 10:30. We're going to go through every single game, and we're going to give you our predictions for the Tennessee Titans season. Coming up next, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 the Game. Happy Saturday, Nashville. We are doing the NFL schedule for the Tennessee Titans. We are going to go through every single game. We're going to make our predictions. Win-loss. What will the Titans' record be under our discretion? Junie, I know this is your favorite time of the year.
It is. And I did make the statement that, you know, for me personally, and I'm not saying this is a popular opinion, but if I'm going to be authentic, I got to be honest. And the schedule release is the most important aspect to me over some of these, you know, playoff games. And again, the playoff games have been good. But, you know, with how this Warriors-Lakers, you know, series turned out, you know, I'd much rather, you know, kind of dive into the schedule. But that is for another day. The Titans schedule is released, and we are going to go through game by game, kind of giving our way too early predictions. But either way, it's fun, so we're going to do it.
Okay, so Junie, I am going to we'll do semi-rapid fire, where you just immediately give me a yes or a no. We'll go through the first half of the season. We'll go up to the Steelers game in week 9.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So let's begin. Week 1 in New Orleans. Should we give a shout out quick to Ryan Burke and say congratulations for his new job?
Absolutely.
Ryan from Chicago. Ryan from Chicago, as people know him as a character on this show. He's going to be living in New Orleans. Got a job with Tulane. So congratulations. And what are the odds? Week 1, the Tennessee Titans play in New Orleans with the Saints.
Dude, shout out Ryan, man. Love you, brother. Wish you all the best in New Orleans, and hopefully we can make it down there for week 1 to, you know, get a little coverage on this Titans Saints game. But I'm going to kick this one off, Michelle. And I'm going to say the Titans get a win in week 1 against the New Orleans Saints. I think Alvin Kamara, who pleaded guilty to the battery charges with his fight in Vegas after the Pro Bowl, I think he's going to be suspended, and I think it's a huge loss. And for Carr's first game, I don't necessarily know if everything's going to be fine-tuned there for the Saints. And with how the Titans have started the season the last 2 years with the blowout to Arizona and the comeback that they allowed the Giants to do, I think that they come out firing on all cylinders, and I think they get a W against the Saints.
I agree, Junie. I'm going to label that one as a win in my book as well. And I think it'll be a close game, though, and it's definitely a toss-up. You know, I do think Derek Carr's coming in with a chip on his shoulder with something to prove after the way his season ended with the Raiders in Las Vegas. But I'm going to mark that as a win in week 1 for the Tennessee Titans. Week 2 in Nissan Stadium, Justin Herbert and the Chargers will come to town, Junie.
So, listen, the Chargers last year, and a lot of people have been talking about, you know, how the Titans kind of competed with them. They were missing so many players last year. I don't think Joey Bosa played in the game against the Titans. Khalil Mack. They were missing Rashawn Slater, their left tackle. They just had injuries up and down the roster. Like Mike Williams was banged up. I think he played in the Titans game. But, again, the Chargers were just a mess with injuries last year. So I think the Chargers are just way too talented. I think they put up way too many points, and I just don't see how the Titans can compete and you know, stay with the pace that the Chargers will play with. So I'm going to mark that down as a loss.
I agree. I'm on the same page as you. I think that the Tennessee Titans, benefit from having them in Nissan Stadium, but I still think early in the year, it'll be a win on the Chargers front. So we are 1-1 so far. Week 3 at Cleveland with the Deshaun Watson Cleveland Browns. Also quick to mention, Mike Clay, we talked about his rankings. He has Cleveland's offensive line 3rd in the NFL. So quickly to mention, Junie, what do you got for this game?
He's right. They do have a really good offensive line. They're a very good running team. Personally, I like the matchup in this game for the Titans. The Titans defense was really good at stopping the run last year, but I'm going to chalk this up as a loss, and here's why. Because it's at Cleveland, and Cleveland is not an easy place to play. They have a really good roster. I think they overall have a better roster than the Titans, and that's not why I'm picking them. I really do think the Titans match up with this team well. But Cleveland starts the season in week 1 against Cincinnati, and then they got to go to Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football. So you're potentially looking at a Cleveland team that is going to start 0-2. I like the Browns in this game to get a slight edge just because they have a lot of expectations for the season, and I think they're going to be a little bit desperate. So give me the Browns in week 3.
Okay, I like your reasoning. I am going to give the slight edge to the Tennessee Titans in this one. Deshaun Watson, I understand Cleveland's roster is so incredibly talented. Deshaun Watson just worries me. I have no idea what he is going to be next year for this team. So I am going to have the Tennessee Titans at 2-3 heading into week 4, which will be in Nashville. The Cincinnati Bengals are coming to town. I'll go quickly with this one first, Junie. I have this already marked as a loss on the Tennessee Titans schedule. I think it's going to be the hardest game all year for them.
I agree. I think this is an easy loss. Bengals have their number just flat out, and it's Joe Burrow. So yeah, Bengals are going to get the win.
Okay, that was easy. Going into week 5, it'll be their first divisional matchup in Lucas Oil Stadium facing the Colts. I'll go quickly on this one. I think Anthony Richardson will be starting by this game, and I'm marking it as a win for the Tennessee Titans. They've had the Colts numbers these last couple of years.
I agree. I think they get the Colts definitely this early in the season. I think it's going to take a while for the Colts to gel, so I think the Titans will get this win as well, especially if Richardson is playing. He's not going to have a lot of experience yet. Give me the Titans.
Okay, so I think we are both at 3-5 right now. Heading into week 6, we'll be in London against the Baltimore Ravens. This one is tricky, and I know we are both mad. It's not a home game in Nashville. It's a home game in London. I'm taking the Ravens for this one. I think that they've definitely beefed up their roster in a good way for Lamar Jackson this year. They already had a talented playoff team roster last year, and that wasn't even with Lamar Jackson. They've got OBJ. They've upped their receiver room. So give me the Baltimore Ravens winning this one, another loss on the Tennessee Titans schedule.
So I think this game is going to be a little bit closer than what people think. I think the Ravens are a bit overhyped coming into this season. I see the Titans as their ability to stop the run, and as run heavy as the Ravens are, it's going to play into an advantage on a neutral field. But the one thing that I like about the Ravens in a close game is their kicking game with Justin Tucker. So I think it's going to come down to a last second field goal, and if anybody's going to make it, it's going to be Tuck. So give me the Ravens in this game, and I have the Titans before the bye starting 2-4.
Okay, and I've got them 3-3. So we're just a little off there. The Cleveland game was the one that we both differed on. So heading in the bye week, you have them 2-4, Junie. I have them 3-3. We'll quickly do the Atlanta Falcons. This game will be, or what is it, the Red Birds or whatever the video called them.
The Red Atlanta Stallions. Falcons.
The Red Stallions. They're coming to Nissan Stadium. I'll go quickly for this one. I have the Tennessee Titans getting a win in this game, I'm assuming. We haven't seen any moves made by them, and Desmond Ridder is going to be their quarterback. They've made some good additions. I think they've got a pretty solid roster, but I've got the Tennessee Titans winning and being 4-3 before Thursday Night Football in Pittsburgh.
Falcons are a sneaky good team. I think in the NFC they could be in play for a wild card spot. That is like one of my teams that I think that a lot of people are sleeping on. But with Desmond Ridder and the offensive line that they have, they're really good at running the ball, but they're not good at pass protection. So I think the Titans front seven is going to disrupt the young quarterback, and a few turnovers is going to lead to a very narrow Titans win.
Okay, week 9 at the one and only, dun, 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 your favorite team ever, Pittsburgh Steelers, Thursday Night Football. This is going to be a tough one. This is one of the games that I'm circling on my calendar. I'm very excited for it. A very hard stadium to play in. I'm still calling it Heinz. I don't care what people say. I'm going to put a slight Tennessee Titans win Thursday night football in Heinz. Not a cure. What is it called now?
Acrisure.
Acrisure. No, no, no. Yeah. Heinz. I'm giving a very slight win to the Tennessee Titans against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know you're confident in Kenny Pickett. I still have a question mark on him, but I do think that they have a really solid roster. They got a great offensive line. We all know that you just pass the rock to the Najee Harris in their run game, but I'm going to give a slight win to the Tennessee Titans.
I think the Steelers have one of the best rosters in the league. I understand where you're coming from. Kenny Pickett is a big question mark. He's got to take that big step in the sophomore year. I think right now that is what's holding them back from being a playoff team to not being a playoff team is what he's going to be. But I just like the way the Steelers match up. I mean, they have one of the best pass rushes in the game. And when you talk about the Titans offensive line, I think TJ Watt is going to eat a lot. And it's Thursday night football. The home team always has the advantage. And Tennessee historically just doesn't play well in Pittsburgh. The year in 2021 when they were the number one seed and the Steelers weren't that good, the Steelers still knocked them off. So I like it as a matchup perspective. It's Thursday night football. The Steelers are coming off a game against the Jags. And if they lose that game, they're going to be even more motivated. So it also has something to do with that as well. So give me the Steelers. I think this is going to be probably the toughest road game that the Titans are going to have all year.
Okay, so what do you have the Tennessee Titans after that game? I have them 5-3.
I have them at 3-5.
Okay, so we got two games differed, and it's two games in the division that you love the most, Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. We're both different on those. Okay, coming up next, we will begin Week 10 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we will round out our predictions for the Tennessee Titans 2023 season. You're listening to Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3, the Game. Michelle Knezevic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier, they're live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And I'm live from the Rex Rhodes household, doing a little house sitting this weekend, guys. If you recognize this background that you see Joe in Robbie and Rex Rhodes weekly. But we're discussing the NFL schedule release. We're specifically discussing the Tennessee Titans and marking some wins and losses on their schedule. We went all the way up to Week 9 Thursday Night Football. That's going to be against the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Junie has them at 3-5 heading into Week 10. I've got them at 5-3 heading into Week 10.
I don't know how they're going to go 5-3 with the stretch they have to kick off this season. I think saying they're going to go into Pittsburgh on Thursday night and win is. It's pretty wild, but, you know, we'll see.
Pretty wild?
We'll see about it.
Junie, take the Pittsburgh hat off. We don't even know what Kenny Pickett is.
Okay, well, what is Ryan Tannehill with no offensive line and no receivers?
Well.
Not that good.
First off, Junie, you're getting a little butthurt by this one. First off, you actually said the offensive line got better. He has an offensive line. We don't know what exactly it is. But also,
you have a great
roster in Pittsburgh. I agree, top to bottom, great roster. You also have no idea what your quarterback is.
Well, again, we'll have to see. If you can't name one position group outside of quarterback and running back that's better on a team, I'm just saying, like Thursday night football on the road, tough environment. Pittsburgh's defense is better. Their offensive line is better. Their receivers are better. I like the matchup. I think they just match up better. There's no bias towards that whatsoever.
I honestly can't ever, when you are talking about the Steelers and you say there's no bias, I can't ever believe that. I'm sorry.
How is there no bias? We got to get into the rest
of the
schedule.
Don't cry if they win on Thursday Night Football. It'll be okay.
There'll be no tears. I hope the Titans do well. We cover this team. I want to cover a good team. So if they win, they win. It's no big deal.
Okay, heading into Week 10, the Tennessee Titans at Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield, I'm assuming, will be their starting quarterback, but we know how high they were on Kyle Trask heading into the season. This one is going to be in Tampa, week 10, Junie. You can kick it off. You can kick us off.
That's going to be a win. There's a lot of turnover on this Bucs team. That defense is completely depleted from what it was when they won the Super Bowl. Offense with Baker Mayfield, I just hear turnover city. So that's going to be in favor of the Titans. Titans get a big win.
Okie dokie. Week 10. I'm on the same page as you. I like that as a win for the Tennessee Titans. I think it's pretty clear that Tampa Bay is waving their white flag to go and get Caleb Williams next year. Week 11, Jacksonville Jaguars, second divisional matchup. This one will be in Jacksonville. I'll go first on this one. I think that the Tennessee Titans lose in Jacksonville against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the Jags have their number, and I think especially playing them in Jacksonville. We saw Duval come out loud. We saw the fan base be electrified last year in week 18. That stadium was pretty intense, but I think the Titans go down there, and week 11 is a loss for them.
It's definitely going to be a loss. They're going to take another step. Trevor Lawrence in Doug Peterson's system, another year, another offseason. They get Calvin Ridley. I mean, they're hands down by far the best team in this division. I don't foresee them losing at home when they definitely got significantly better this offseason.
Okay, week 12, the Tennessee Titans against the number one overall pick, the Carolina Panthers. This one will be a home game. I'm ruling this one. I'll go quickly, Junie. I'm ruling this one as a win for the Tennessee Titans. Rookie quarterback, I don't know. I mean, I know they already came out and said Bryce Young isn't going to be their starter day one, but I have a feeling by week 12, he will be starting this roster.
He will start week one. I will tell you, he is going to start week one.
I mark this one as a win for the Tennessee Titans.
It's definitely going to be a win. This is going to be one of those Jeff Fisher specials to where it's going to be like 13-10. Carolina has a good defense. Titans have a good defense. Both these offenses don't have a lot of firepower. I think the Titans get a few turnovers because of little man Bryce Young. I don't know if you saw the videos of him this week, but the man looks extremely tiny. So I think they force a few turnovers on him, and I think that the defense leads him to a win.
Okay, week 13, the Indianapolis Colts come to Nissan Stadium. This will be the second time they see them. We both already had them in the win category against the Colts in Lucas Oil. I think that the Colts actually come in week 13, and I think that they beat the Tennessee Titans at home. So I'm marking that one as a loss for Tennessee.
I'm actually surprised that you did that, because I actually marked it as a loss as well. I see the Colts this year the same way that I see the Ravens in 2018 when Lamar was a rookie. Lamar was super raw. He didn't really have his passing game refined, and I see the same thing with Anthony Richardson. I think with him and Jonathan Taylor, they're going to be a run-heavy team, scheme up a lot of different ways to win that way, and I see them getting a narrow win at against the Titans later in the season when they start to get things a little bit more together.
Okie dokie. I kind of agree with that. I think by week 13, Anthony Richardson gets a little bit more comfortable, not saying that he's going to be, dogging them. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think he starts to figure some things out. Week 14, Monday Night Football in Miami. It's going to be the David Long Jr. revenge game, Junie.
The Ryan Tannehill revenge game. He
yeah,
was a Dolphin.
A little bit of both. Week 14 at Miami, as I mentioned, Monday Night Football. I'm marking this one as a Tennessee Titans loss. I really like Miami's team. A lot of it will depend on Tua's health heading into this year. But, I mean, if you look top to bottom, the receivers they got, the quarterback they got, and also getting Jalen Ramsey on defense, David Long Jr., I like this as a Miami win for the Tennessee Titans. A Miami win against the Titans on week 14, Monday Night Football.
I agree as well. I think the Dolphins win, but this really all depends on if Tua is healthy or not. We've seen a lot of injuries from him, a lot of concussions. If he's in this game, I think they win with too much offensive power. And like you mentioned, I'm glad you brought this up. Jalen Ramsey across from Xavien Howard, two really good corners. I think that defense is going to be really improved, especially when you get David Long Jr. So the Dolphins are going to be a pretty solid team this year. I think they're going to get the win over the Titans.
Okay, week 15, another divisional matchup. The Houston Texans come into Nissan Stadium. I am going to mark this one as a win for the Titans. I'm assuming CJ Stroud will be their starter day one, obviously barring any injuries. So give me that one as a win for the Tennessee Titans in week 15 against the Houston Texans.
You know, the Houston Texans have beaten the Titans the past 2 years in Nissan Stadium, and I think that that's going to play a part in this. I think the Titans are going to be really motivated to beat the Texans in front of their fans, especially with how bad the Texans have been the last 2 years. So give me the Titans as well. They get the home win against the Texans.
Okay, week 16, another Nissan Stadium game. The Seattle Seahawks coming into town. I absolutely love what Seattle did in the draft this year and also what they did last year with Geno Smith. They're riding with Seattle. I love that they got Jaxon Smith-Njigba up that wide receiver room. I think Seattle comes in here and beats the Tennessee Titans in week 16. And this one is also going to be on Christmas Eve.
I agree as well. And Jigba being the three with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, I think is going to be really good for them. Devin Witherspoon, I think he is up for Defensive Player of the Year. I think he's going to be really good. And, you know, Tyreek Woolen was up for the award last year. They're really kind of rebuilding the Legion of Boom with the amount of really high-quality players they have in the secondary. And that was kind of their weakness last year was, you know, their defense wasn't as stout. But doing a lot on that side of the ball, I think the Seahawks are going to be one of those teams that are going to surprise people in the NFC. Could potentially, if the 49ers quarterback situation, they could potentially win the NFC West if all falls into place.
And they also got Pete Carroll as their coach, so that always helps things. Okay, week 17 at Houston. I'm really hoping that we see the throwback Oilers jerseys for this game, Junie. That would be such just a power move, but you'll be interested on this one. So this is the New Year's Eve game. Tennessee Titans in Houston. Here's my prediction. My prediction is they wear the throwback Oilers jerseys, but Houston wins that game is going to be my prediction. So I'm marking that one as a Texans win over the Titans.
I don't think they would wear the throwback uniforms on the road. I think that would be more or less when they play here at Nissan Stadium. But I think they sweep the Texans this year. I think the fact that they've lost them in years past when the Texans have been underdogs, and now that the Texans have gotten a little bit better and the Titans are a little bit worse, I just feel like the Titans really need to get this game. And at this stage in the season, for me, you know, they're kind of on that brink. Like, could they make a run to make the playoffs? Could they not? Could things fall into place? I think they get the win over the Texans, and because of their run defense and Derrick Henry, I think they sweep Houston.
Okay, week 18 will be against the Jacksonville Jaguars again, but this time it will be in Nissan Stadium. I'm going to make a little early prediction, Junie. I'm going to say this is for the division again this year in week 18. Jacksonville's got a first place schedule. They're going to have a gauntlet of playing Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Patrick Mahomes this year, along with all the other games on their schedule. So I'm going to mark this one week 18 for the division, and I'm going to mark it as a Tennessee Titans win. Finishing the season, I have the Tennessee Titans at 9-8.
Okay, I am going to give the Titans the win as well, but not for the same reason that you are. I think the Jags will be resting players for the playoffs. And the Titans will be wrapping up the season, but it's going to be a little bit too late. The Titans will finish 8-9, and Will Levis will be the quarterback after the bye week, after a 2-4 start for me. So 8-9, 2-4 with Will Levis, and I feel like Will Levis is going to start to turn some heads this year and do a little bit more and really rally this group the second half of the season, especially with the schedule being a bit more favorable.
We've got a text on the text line, Wes and Hermitage. He says, why does Junie hate the Titans? Every toss-up game, he's picked against us. Shame, shame. Who is his team? I must know.
My team is the Steelers, but I don't necessarily think that I'm picking against them in toss-up games. Like, what game really is a toss-up game that I haven't given logic about? I don't know. I just don't think the Titans are that good. Like, realistically, I think without Mike Vrabel at the helm and being the coach, I think they're a 6 or 7 win team. I just don't see this offensive line and this receiving core, especially with the NFL and how it is today, how the Titans could possibly compete this year. You know, unless all of a sudden that, you know, Andre Dillard becomes a really great left tackle and Brunskill is an all-pro guard after, you know, being benched last year in San Francisco. I don't know. I just don't think this roster is that good. I think it's, to be quite honest with you, one of the worst rosters in the league. But with Mike Vrabel and how he coaches and how he rallies this group, I think that you get a few extra wins that you probably wouldn't because of him. So I think 8-9 is reasonable. I've seen worse predictions. I know our friend Ben Arthur for Fox Sports that writes for the division, he has them going 7-10. So, I mean, I'm not the only one that's super down on this team. So I don't think it's
well,
a very
unpopular opinion.
Well, and
honestly, I mean, Junie, you and I were fairly similar. You had them 8-9. I had them 9-8. You know, either a below or an above 500 team. But I think their schedule is very interesting because there are a lot of, kind of like the texter said, there are some toss-up games. There are games that I could see them winning that are winnable for them, but you could lose them. Like we talked about Tampa. I could see them winning that game, but I also could see them losing that game. You know, the Falcons, they have a good roster. What does Desmond Ritter look like?
Same with New Orleans. I mean, I picked them to beat New Orleans at New Orleans in week one, which is a super tough place to play. I guess I don't really have them beating anybody. But here's the thing about, you know, this team is that, you know, every single year they're going to beat a team that no one expects them to beat. You know, this is us picking games in May. So obviously we're not going to sit here and say like, oh yeah, they're going to beat Jacksonville and Jacksonville, you know, right here in May. This is kind of like what we think right now. So I think they're definitely going to get a win on this schedule that no one's expecting them to. And I think they're also going to have a loss that's going to be really head scratching. Be like, how in the world did they lose to that team? So, you know, with this team, I just think offensively and the way the game's played, playing in the AFC with all these talented quarterbacks and offenses, it's going to be really struggle. It's going to be a huge struggle for this team to compete with some of these offenses in the AFC.
A lot of chat on the Tennessee Titans schedule. Junie has an early prediction of them going 8-9. I've got them going 9-8. And quickly, just a little, some videos coming out on Twitter, Junie. There's a video of Atlanta Falcons running back they drafted in the first round, Bijan Robinson, lining up as wide receiver and catching some passes in rookie minicamp.
They said he's a very much so a dual threat and he can line up. Kind of reminds me of Le'Veon Bell. He's going to be good.
That's going to be exciting. Junie and I will put a bow on things coming up on the other side. We're going to take a look at some of the Superbook lines and give you our best bets of the weekend. Coming up next on Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
You heard it. Here comes the money. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3. The game, it's that time of the day. We are going to give our best bets of the weekend. Some of the NBA series have wrapped up. Junie, I listened to the Corgi, and I didn't stick with my guns. I thought the Lakers were going to wrap this up in six games, but I listened to the Corgi, and I had faith that the dog was going to be 100% and have the Warriors win.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to go with the Corgi. You know, I was hyped, but I saw what happened in game five with, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, getting, you know, slightly hit in the head and having to get wheeled out in a wheelchair, which, you know, that's another story. But regardless, I just felt like the Lakers really dominated the series. And, you know, going back home, I knew LeBron didn't want to do another game seven in Golden State. So I actually picked the Lakers last night. I made four bets and was the only one that hit. So it was a tough night for me, but that was the one I did get. And they handed it to the Warriors last night. So Lakers going, taking on the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals.
That is going to be a great game. I'm very excited for that series. Miami also wrapped things up against the Knicks last night. So Miami will advance, and Miami will either play the Celtics or the 76ers. I thought the 76ers would have wrapped this thing up, honestly, in game five, but the Celtics have come back, and we've got a game seven in Boston. So this series has been, honestly, my favorite series to watch, Junie and Nick. The Celtics are a 6.5-point favorite. That line has moved. It was 7.5 on Friday, and I originally picked the Celtics. Well, I'm staying with it. I pick the Celtics to win this thing outright, but I am going to take the 76ers plus the 6.5. I think it's a close game, but I think that the Celtics have the momentum right now. And also the fact that they are playing at home helps things a lot.
Give me the 76ers plus the points. And I have been on Philadelphia from the beginning in this series. I think they play a little bit more tenaciously on the road. And I just have a feeling that, you know, Joel Embiid is not going to show up the way he did in game six at home. He's going to have an MVP-like performance. And James Harden, I feel like he's going to make a clutch shot or two at the end to really wrap this one up. So give me the Sixers on the money line and the points. And also, I kind of like the under in this game. I think this is going to be a really testy defensive kind of game, kind of like we saw with Miami and the Knicks last night. So give me the under on 201.
All right. Well,
it's 201 even.
Yes, it's 201 even according to Superbook right now.
Let me just tap in here. I will be taking the Boston Celtics on a win margin of 1-10. That is plus money. I'm just all about the plus money here today.
Okay, so you are taking the Boston Celtics as well. I do want to throw something out there. If the 76ers don't win, Joel Embiid has never been able to advance to the second round or past the second round playing with the 76ers. So
that'll be interesting eventually.
And got to happen eventually. I agree with you too, Junie. So it will be either the Celtics or the 76ers playing Miami. We already have our Western Conference matchup between the Nuggets and the Lakers. Moving on to the NHL side of things, the Panthers officially knocked out the Toronto Maple Leafs, but we've got the Stars and the Kraken. So we can either do it on the spread or we can do it on the puck line. The Stars are a 1.5-point favorite. I need to double check what that series is at right now. I do. Okay, let's see. So the Stars lead 3-2. I think that the Seattle Kraken, they have struggled with some goalie issues moving forward, but they do have a veteran team. They've got old guys on that team. I think that they even out the series tonight 3-3, and this one will go to seven games, and game seven will be on Monday.
I like the Kraken on the spread, but I like the Stars on the puck line. I think that the Stars are going to close it out tonight. There will not be no game seven. I just think Dallas is a bit more finely tuned. I feel like they're the more veteran team. You know, Seattle obviously hasn't been there, being an expansion franchise. So give me the Dallas Stars tonight. And also, I like the under. I think this is going to be kind of like a 3-2 kind of game. And Dallas is going to get that third goal in the third period and take the win and move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with Michelle on this one. I had a futures bet of the Florida Panthers and the Seattle Kraken going to the next round. So I'm going to stick with my guns and stick with Seattle. Ellie Tolvanen, let's do some work.
Okay.
Okay, I like it. And as Junie did mention, the franchise is still young. They haven't been in this situation before, but a lot of the players on their team have been in a playoff situation like this before. Yesterday, the Vegas Golden Knights go up 3-2 on the Edmonton Oilers. Their game will be tomorrow. We'll just do this one on the puck line. I think the Oilers, they have a must-win game. I hate saying must-win game, but when you have Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, two of the best players in the world on your team, you need to show up and you need to tie up this series to go to game seven. So give me the Oilers on the money line tomorrow to tie up this series.
For me, I feel like I pick the Oilers every single time just because like I kind of just love to watch them. You know, especially like you mentioned, McDavid and Draisaitl are two of the most fun players to watch in the league. I mean, they remind me of Malkin and Crosby back in their heyday, you know, when those were two young guys that were paired together. So give me the Oilers as well. I'd really like to see this game go to a game seven. I want to see the Oilers move on because they're just so much fun to watch every series they're in. It's so a lot of scoring, a lot of points, and in hockey, that is something that gets me to tune in. So give me the Oilers to force a game seven.
I'm right there with
Nick,
you.
Quickly on this game and your soccer parlay.
Sure. Yeah, I'm right there with Junie and you. I'm taking the Oilers all day, every day. Leon Draisaitl, two goals, plus 580. That's a sprinkle,
ooh,
just FYI.
I like that.
And as for the NSC parlay for this week, trying to stay hot here, Junie, don't put the pressure on. A lot of lines weren't really speaking to me, but we'll go Nashville SC in the draw for double chance. Nashville SC plus one in the corner spread and a halftime draw. That is plus 538. Put $10 on it, wins you $53.
I will say this to you, Frazier. I have not done your bets on NSC, and I've like calculated it somewhat in my mind. I have lost out on a grand because I haven't done this. If you are listening right now, this guy is red hot when it comes to this soccer team in town. Just whatever he says, do it because it happens. And on top of that, last week on the show, before they played Chicago, he said put a little extra money because Hani Mukhtar might have more than one goal. Well, he ended up having a hat trick. So if you did that, you had a hefty payday. So listen to Frazier when he talks about NSC.
Just trying to do stuff for the people. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yes. Listen to every Saturday we do Frazier's little soccer NSC parlay for you all. Great Saturday, everybody. We'll be back in action same time, same place next Saturday, 9 to 10. You're listening to Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.